AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Tom Freshly screams towards Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Better be on their clam digging. Bloody clam digging.
What have we here?
Go fuck yourself.
Damn.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, bees, this is the ESE podcast. This is Eat, Sleep, Elite. I'm one half of your hosting duo. I'm the Digital Duke, also known as the Digital Phantom, also known as Bane Duke, the Duke of Derbs, the Skiba to Scuba. And with me today is my good buddy, my old pal, my friend, the Coke Larry to my Michael Jordan. How is it going there, Chuckles McGee?
Hey, 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 everybody.
Yeah, so those of you that don't watch I Love LA are probably like, what the fuck is a Coke Larry? Don't worry about it. Just Google. You'll be fine. But yeah, so we're back at it again. More wrestling. This was Blood, Brood, and Guts week. So, you know, one of our shows was basically two matches. I mean, there was a third one, and we'll talk about all that. But it was mostly Blood and Guts this week. And, you know, I'm so glad that, like, this isn't a pay-per-view, man. Tony Khan doesn't get credit enough for stuff like that. This would be a pay-per-view on any other wrestling show. Literally. Maybe not New Japan. Maybe New Japan would just have a random steel cage match or something, right? They wouldn't do... Well, I guess they did do this technically, but this is not their thing usually, right? You know, like... but... Yeah, And given how that went for them, I don't think that's happening again. You know what I mean? But anyway. But that being said... I mean, think about this. This is a one TV show a year. You get Blood and Guts. You know what I mean? Think about that. That is pretty fucking cool if you think about it. Now, we do have a pay-per-view match like that. We do have Anarchy in the Arena, right? Where it's going to be crazy and it's going to be on a pay-per-view. And that's cool. We have that too. But this is unique. This is a big-time gimmick match that is sold to an audience of people that are going to watch it live. Beyond just the people that are going to watch it on TV. I just think that's such a cool spectacle. I don't know. Am I just like overreacting to this idea, Charlie? Because we've had it for a couple of years now. But to me, I feel like we just never really have acknowledged how important that is. Like maybe some people would say, oh, you should have that on a pay-per-view. But like, I don't know, man. I think it's a cool thing that we don't. I think that it's cool that we get to have this as a TV show. You could tune into your first ever AEW show and it could be fucking Blood and Guts.
Yeah, it's a nice mix up too. I mean, that was one of the foundation things of AEW is having these weekly TV show specials. And that's something that they were really passionate about getting up and going, hence the tradition of it all. And I think it does benefit them because, yeah, you have weeks like this where it's in a way almost a double pay-per-view week. You know, you get this and then what, 10 days later, it's Full Gear. So. It's really neat the way it can come up and do it. And it gives exciting television, which I think was something, especially when AEW launched, that the wrestling stratosphere was desperate for. Give us weekly fucking badass things to tune into.
I also love the idea that it's not a set in stone thing. Last couple of years, it was just a men's match of this. You know what I mean? And then they'd had a card around it. Yep. It was usually a decent card, but it was mostly Blood and Guts for the second half, right? Well, the thing is now what? So what if the tag division goes crazy, the trios division, are we gonna get, can you imagine a bunch of trios in a fucking my fucking Christ, dude, can you imagine?
That might get a little bit too wicked for all we know,
dude. Fucking, you can do so many things, you know, like what happens when you put a championship on the line in one of these and it's all solo, you know, like everyone just comes out one at a time. It basically would be Elimination Chamber at that point. You could just basically do that. You could be like, it's not Blood and Guts, but it's like, I don't know, fucking Death and Taxes. I don't fucking know. You know, like.
Yeah, right.
Fucking, obviously that's not a match name, but you know, like, I don't know, but yeah, I guess with that being said, we always like to start off the show with a little bit of positivity. And in that case, it'll be your week this week there, share. So why don't you go ahead and take us away there. I don't know why I became Remy the Bull all of a sudden, but here we are.
And more like Rimjob LeBeau. No, so look, this was one of those weeks that's kind of an easy week of favorites, but it gives us a chance to really talk about it. And I got to tell you that the one I think I stuck out to me a little bit more was the women's Blood and Guts match, where we had Mercedes Moné, Megan Bain, Marina Shafir, Tekla, Julia Hart, and Sky Blue defeat Chris Statlander, Tony Storm, Willow Nightingale, Jamie Hayter, Harley Cameron, and Mina Shirakawa. First ever women's Blood and Guts. Let's set the tone right. We sent out Sky Blue and Willow, and that was the perfect starting. Sky Blue bearing the crimson mask 3 minutes into the match, screaming, "This is my match." What a great way to kind of get you started, get you excited. Sky Blue has kind of fallen perfectly into this role, and it's lovely to see her embracing it. Out comes Julia. Julia looked pretty good in here. Willow doing the two-on-one thing. You know, what's funny is Willow's kind of like a bigger wrestler, yet she can play this almost David role so well versus these two small, you know, junior heavyweight wrestlers, essentially, if you were categorizing the division, right? And yet she's playing it so well. And I'm just like, God, Willow's so fucking talented at selling. She's making these two look like they're beating the shit out of her. And then out comes Harley Cameron, who did really feel her up, chucking that chair at Sky Blue's face, got a good pop. But, you know, Tekla comes out, Jamie Hayter, Megan Bain, Chris Statlander. Everyone's looking really good in this match. Megan Bain, my God. Jamie Hayter and Chris Statlander, they're kind of on another level when it comes to selling in terms of the really heavy shit that they had to do. So they stood out for that reason. I thought Jamie Hayter looked really good in this.
I don't mean to jump back, but I just had to, every time this comes up, it makes me fucking giggle inside because fucking the Jacksons with, you say what you want about the Jacksons, about the Young Bucks, right? About the Bucklets, but like, And about fucking Brawl Out, but they made a fucking chair throw on fucking Rumor. They have so much aura, they made a chair throw, like one of the most devastating maneuvers you can do to somebody in AEW now. It's fucking legendary. Hilarious. Everybody pops for it now, and it's not because of that, but I guarantee it's in the back of their minds, even if they don't realize it, you know?
I love seeing Statlander out there with the title kind of doing her thing. Mercedes came out, we got some Tornado DDT, spiking Statlander on the title.
And like used it as a weapon? I feel like I expected that to happen, but maybe they just thought that was a little too on the nose and there's so many more opportunities to do violence with.
Yeah. Mina came out. Marina came out to an unbelievable amount of aura. Oh my God. She looked, the crowd reaction to her. Yo, it felt like Marina was like world champion level of fucking presence. And I wonder if that's Death Rider stuff finally for her, bleeding into her own reaction, which would be a delight. And then Thomas Tony Storm to end it with her pearls, and she's out there in the janitor outfit. You know, there's so many great spots here. Mercedes and Statlander on the table outside. Julia and Tekla kind of sliding between the cage, if you will. I really like that spot. Yeah, Statlander on the bed of nails was great. Marina looked awesome here, too. And I think the ending moment where they trapped everyone outside the match, and they forced Tony Storm to tap out because Mina, you know, again, showing some really great tag team prowess that I liked. Mina getting first glass stomped on her and then being beaten repeatedly with Mercedes' title belt by Megan Bain. I just thought it brought the violence and chaos that we were hoping for. And it's what this division constantly excels at. You give them challenges, you give them new ground, no matter who's in it. You can look at this era versus, you know, versus Britain and Thunder Rosa when they were given that ground and they went out and excelled like they did. It's really nice. I thought they set the tone good for Blood and Guts. And I really thought this delivered. And I'm very, very glad it delivered. Because violence has its place in wrestling. Right? That's it. It always will. And when you do it in a fucking badass way like this, this is going to get Sky Blue over more. This is going to get Marina over more. And it got me personally more excited for some of the matches within this. So if it got me more excited, I know it got other people more excited. So, yeah, great stuff. Danielson was great on commentary. I just thought everyone really did their part and they did it very well. And my MVP of the match was 100% Sky Blue. Duke, what did you think of this match with our heels picking up the dub?
Yeah, bad girls win. You know, girls did not get it done. I really liked this match. I mean, it was like exactly what you wanted from this match. It was the spectacle that it could be. And you mentioned something, and I'll get back to like the actual match in a second, but you mentioned something interesting I want to scope in on for a second, which is that, like, yeah, not everybody likes these kinds of matches. Not everyone's a fan of, like, death matches. It's not everybody's cup of tea. Even these sort of WCW throwback matches with the two cages and two rings. Some people see that and it does something to their brain, man. I don't know what it is, but they see that match and they're like, now, is that the majority of wrestling fans? Nah, I would say most wrestling fans will watch just about any kind of match you give them as long as it's not a Punjabi prison or something like that. But, like, you know, like, other than, like, just bad gimmicks, usually as long as they have like a decent, and this match type particularly got really revived by NXT, like really revived by NXT by just the pure black and gold aura, you know? So this is why this match is being used by like multiple different places now, because it's just good. But I do understand what you mean when you say that, because even me with some of the spots, like I still don't love the bed of nails spots. I know it's probably completely safe, but like, God, does it not look unsafe, you know? Like, But I still think there's a place for that in wrestling, like you said. So, like, I want to feel like there's consequences to these fucking things that get done. Like, because it can feel really silly when somebody gets beat up for 8 weeks straight and isn't on the shelf. You know what I mean? Like, really, honestly, it can feel really silly sometimes, you know? It's not something I ever noticed, but, like, it is something that I feel like adds up in your head, you know? Like, eventually you're like, all right, this is weird. And then, so for this particular match, I think, I was really hoping they went all the way with it, because I feel like in an attempt to try and do it in a way that would be like, I don't know, more palatable to an audience that doesn't like this stuff, you would then take away what the purpose of this match is, which is to be shocking and surprising and to be like, to keep you on the edge of your seat. And that was kind of the theme of this whole episode of Dynamite, really, as we'll go through it. But yeah, there was violence afoot. I mean, just, and I liked the order people came in. Like you mentioned, you have Sky and Willow. Sky and Willow, and as the first two. Then you get Julia. Then, then you know. Harley was in there. I was like, what? I just threw in fucking Harley just randomly. So the way I put it in my notes, it was like three and then four. I just decided to throw them right next to each other for some reason. I didn't make it confusing for myself. But yeah, Harley gets in there. And then obviously we get Megan Bain or whatever after Tekla and Jamie Hayter and all that. Like, I think the biggest pop of the match for me was Toni Storm coming out, because when she came out, I mean, the fucking place lit up because they knew the match was about to kick off. And then she does the thing with the fucking glass on the fist and everyone was just sent to the fucking moon, you know? So, like, it was pretty good. Probably spot of the match to me is Stack getting laid out on the bed of nails. That thing just fucking fucks with my head. I don't know why.
It's good also, shit.
Mina doing her best fucking Mick Foley impression. Mina Foley was out there, you know, because she had the fucking barbed wire bat, fucking just chilling, you know, crazy. Actually, there was this spot where there was this Samoan drop hit through the table with all the belts on it. That was pretty good. I'll give them that. That was probably painful, you know? Belts aren't, they're made of real metal, you know what I mean? Like, ooh. Yeah, I mean, was there anything else that really stood out to you? I mean, this was a really fucking great match. I mean,
yeah,
you know?
Really good.
The figure four with barbed wire bat in the middle, that's just mean. What are you doing? Come on, Mina. Jesus, you know? Hey!
So yes. Good.
Fun fucking match, you know?
Yeah. So, would you have this week for your favorite, Ted Boy?
Yeah, and to nobody's surprise, I had the video package that set up the Jurassic Express. No, I'm just kidding. imagine. No, yeah. So, I took the men's Blood and Guts. And, yeah. So, this one, I mean, I'll just say it right now. I actually think the women fucking kicked the men's ass. I think that both matches were really good, but I just think the women's match was better. But I do think this match was still good. So I think with this one, again, I think Darby and Wheeler being our first two in, I think that's the right choice, you know, especially because we know the good guys in this one are getting the advantage. So I think Darby being in there, being the one that wanted to be in first, makes sense to me because he wants to, you know, beat the shit out of somebody, and they'd send Wheeler in because they don't care what happens to him, you know?
Yep.
So
gave him the advantage, but did they really?
Correct. Yeah. All right. Obviously, then we get Orange Cassidy coming in. He immediately breaks his sunglasses, which has now become his, I guess, his way of signifying to the audience that he's going to go insane and not, you know, fuck around. Kind of makes sense given the nature of the match. He was using a chain to beat the shit out of people. At the point that Mark Briscoe was supposed to come in, they reveal that he got KO'd backstage. They have Roderick Strong come in his place, which I thought was, makes sense to me, you know? And then, oh yeah, we had, I don't know what this is in relation to, but apparently at one point there was attempted murder by Mox and Garcia. I don't know what happened there, but I told you the kind of match this was, though, you know? There was some pile drivers on some broken glass. I wrote Chaos Incarnation. I probably meant to put Incarnate. Chaos Incarnate. This is what I was writing throughout this match. This just tells you where I was at. Oh my god, the fucking jousting with the chairs on the fucking top of the cage.
So good.
There's a J-Driller up there. Gabe Kidd. Fucking Gabe Kidd, Charlie. Where has this guy been? Didn't he get dragged behind to a fucking car to death the last time we saw him?
He just shows up and he's a human.
He is a human. I can't get mad at him because I love him. But where the fuck have you been, Gabe? Well, he's probably busy in Japan, I'm sure. And then, yeah, what else was there? Darby Allin. Oh, he kidnaps Darby Allin, takes him over to, I guess I'm going to call it just the set, you know, and then grabs him, hangs him from the fucking, you know, I forget what he used. It was a rope or chain. Maybe it was a chain. He hung him for a minute. Then he pulled him back up. They lit the table on fire. He, I think, just hit basically an attitude adjustment or something like that through the table. He just tossed him. Anyway, he tossed him off through the table, fought on fire. Darby's dead. Oh my God. Orange Cassidy's hands being stapled into his pockets.
Dude. Metal. Fucking metal.
Cassidy had a nice spot reversing that where he ripped his hands out and it looked pretty fucking metal. And then it was a really, really cool sequence of submissions by, I believe it was Kyle. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I don't think, yeah. And Mark did eventually come into this match, I think late, right? I believe. Or did he? Just,
yeah. So they had the advantage and then Mark Briscoe didn't actually come out. So they didn't have the advantage.
Yeah. So, sure, you know?
Yeah, little overbooking.
Kyle O'Reilly did get the win, so, you know?
Yep.
So, shout out Kyle. Is he Kyle 2 still?
Probably. Yeah. He's no longer Kyle 3.
That's good. He was Kyle 3 for a minute. He got jumped. I won't tell you by who, because he's not a wrestler, but he was Kyle 3 for a second there. So that's solid for Kyle. I'll toss it to you. What did you think of this match? I thought this was really solid. I do think it had a lot going on it that was really fun. Mm-hmm. I probably missed some of the big spots, but I mean, I think the one that everyone's going to walk away remembering is the fucking Darby Allin going through a flaming table spot. What did you think?
Yeah, that was a great spot. Darby Allin almost, I gave Sky Blue the MVP of the other match. I'm giving it to Darby Allin in this one. No coincidence they came out first, but that's just kind of the way it ends up being. I could give it, though, to Kyle O'Reilly. Great stuff out of him. I thought the Death Riders all looked great. And I honestly, the only thing that was had me shaking my head in the match was the overbooking of what they're doing with Mark Briscoe. I don't think that was needed, but whatever, we move on.
Yeah, because it wasn't even, if it had been the Death Riders that attacked him, that would have at least made sense. But it was the Don Callis family.
Yeah. So Danielson was happy, though, that Yuta was going to be punished for an hour. And there is something I want to talk about. Not necessarily about the match, but it was about how everyone viewed this match.
Okay.
All of a sudden, last Wednesday. So, women's match goes up first, and everyone's like, oh, the men are main eventing. That has to mean they're turning on Moxley. And that became, when I say that caught rapid fire,
wow.
I was seeing it everywhere. I saw it on Blue Sky, saw it everywhere. Everyone was running with this theory. John Moxley, they're putting the old man down. They're turning on him tonight. It has to happen tonight. That's the only reason you'd put that match on last.
Wow.
And Duke, it got me thinking. I'm like, what? Wait. Because I was like,
So
you, this is something you and I have talked about.
The way the audience views the Death Riders, are they still over them, and we just don't realize?
I don't know where this thought process came from.
Oh my god, they're the greatest thing ever! But I think the Death Riders have a place. I feel like the last couple of runs of John as the champion proved to me that there's still something there with even him as champion. You know what I mean? Like, so, like,
correct. And it really got me thinking. I was like, first off, I'm trying to think, where does this come from? So someone must have been
putting
out.
Maybe they're not better on the chase. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe they're only good when John has
the fucking ball.
No, I
don't think it's anything to do with that. I think it's this idea of John Moxley going solo. And it got me really thinking. I'm like, okay.
To do what?
Well, yeah. Hypothetically, if this happens, who's the leader? Claudio? It's Claudio.
Yeah, right.
That would be the only more likely leader out of this scenario.
So he's the only one.
And I hate to break it to people. I don't think the Death Riders will have Claudio Castagnoli as their leader. I don't see it happening. So that got my, because this is something we discuss at length about pretty often, is when that does happen, it's either going to be Wheeler or someone new, probably like a Gabe Kidd, maybe. But the chances it's not Wheeler are so slim.
There's like a 0.1% chance it's Danny too. I can
like,
see that.
Like, yeah, exactly. They're so slim for everyone outside of Wheeler Yuta. It just doesn't make sense. So like, again, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, where did that come from? Because they have not planted the seeds for Wheeler to do
That's
it.
What
so
I'm
that
saying. It's got
to
be something
that would
people
not
are
have
thinking
been the case.
Themselves.
Yeah, the seeds have not been planted. That would be the most bullshit, fucking hyper jumped storyline that they've done, and I hate to break it to people. Rarely does that. AEW's very long-term storytelling. And they do stuff sometimes week to week, but with their major important storylines, like Hangman turning to the dark side, and then the six-month babyface turn he just did, they lay the seeds out and they give it time. They don't do this like hyper-reactionary fucking booking. And it just really got me thinking, what could have possibly led to that belief? Was there an ounce of your mind, Duke, that because the men's match went on last, John Moxley's getting put down?
It's so funny, too, because you told me about this rumor before we watched the show, I believe, both of us. And
I caught this one. I caught this match live.
Okay, so you didn't. Maybe you caught it, but whatever. The point is, I heard this before I'd watched it, I should say, right? And I actually, which is weird, because I actually watched wrestling.
I think I messaged you that night, like before the match was about to start.
That would check out. I remember us talking about it actually, voice to voice. So it might have been during one of our recording sessions last week. It was probably during one of those.
Probably.
We actually didn't talk all that much last week, I don't think, but outside of recording. But yeah, and I remember being like really surprised when you told me that, and then like I watched the whole show, and it completely never even occurred to me, like that.
No,
even though we had that conversation prior to me watching, so that tells you how far it was from my mind. I also have this capacity within my brain to do this thing that even if I know like a spoiler, unless it's like something really major that's gonna be in the back of my mind the whole time, on like a return debut, whatever, or some like shocking moment, like unless it's like something that like I can still kind of turn my brain off and be like, oh, and just let the show take me on the journey that it's taking me, regardless of whether it's something I already know or suspect is going to happen. So, but I could have probably done that anyway, but like the fact that it didn't even come up in my brain at all says something. I don't know what people were thinking. It's kind of wild. I'm not discounting what anyone was thinking, by the way. If you were one of the people that thought this way and you listened to our show, just tell us what you like. Where was this? Was it something that was posted online somewhere? Was it a rumor? Was it just the reading the tea leaves and it just didn't turn out to be correct? Like, I'm really curious, not because I have any reason that I need to know, but I'm just kind of like really surprised because to me, I like to think I have a really good feeling about where AEW is going. But sometimes I'm blatantly wrong, so I don't necessarily know everything for sure. But it didn't occur to me. This would be one that I would love to be able to ask Tony Khan, like, hey, was this even in your mind? Just so that I could be like, sure. Because like maybe there was something there that people saw, but he decided to go away from it or something, you know? But
yeah,
I have no idea.
I think that given how the Death Riders are and how their storylines are,
there's a question. Where do they really
Moxley
go from
out
here?
After this would be so reactionary.
So where would, after people thought that that was what's going to happen, that would be stupid.
But I'm just saying in general, after losing this Blood and Guts match, this is only his like third pin.
That's true. So I guess there's probably in people's minds, especially because maybe they couldn't picture the Death Riders winning this match. So like, I'm curious if like the hold up for people here is that maybe they don't really know where the Death Riders are going after this. And like, I don't really either, but I don't know that I've ever really had a particularly good read on where the Death Riders were going anyway, because that's kind of the whole, they're unpredictable, you know, like,
yeah.
So I don't, you know, I mean, maybe that's something that's worth considering. I mean, if you guys have thoughts on that, let us know as well. Like, do you have any ideas about where you think the Death Riders might go next, you know? Trios, tags, John Moxley maybe going after Hangman Adam Page at the beginning of next year or something, you know? What do you guys think? Because I honestly don't know. And I honestly not entirely sure where Hangman's going post the end of this year, too, if he's still champion. Like,
yeah.
So
that was just one of those things that it really caught wind, and I'm so shocked that it did.
That's so out there, I don't even know what to say, but like, it's...
Okay, so let me toss this to you. Can you honestly picture Claudio as the leader of this group?
Okay, I don't want to sit here and be a jerk and say like no. I mean, there's not
no, it's 0%. Nothing. We love Claudio.
It's literally like, I think, yeah, I think there's a scenario where I could see him successfully leading the Death Riders. Do I think that's going to happen if we pull the plug on it in the middle of Blood and Guts without any setup? No. Do I think we could get
that's
there?
That's the thing. There was no setup.
Do I think we could get there if we set up Claudio and Wheeler teaming up because they've always been a duo and deciding that John Moxley's not what's best for the Death Riders? Yeah, I could see that working. But you haven't done the work for that. So if you just pull that all of a sudden and then you retroactively go back and try and explain it through promos, I'm going to fucking feel some type of way about it, you know?
Yeah.
You should explain it in backstage segments where they're all together, or maybe at least them and John and maybe Marina are together, and then the two of them walk off to go do dastardly deeds, and Wheeler is like still a little bit unsure about shit, and Claudio's for once actually being a little bit receptive to him since the Death Riders turn. I mean, that
you would have to have had seeds planted one way or another. It can be Pac and him teaming up together, and maybe they, you know, they're setting seeds themselves of maybe we're better off without some other people.
Like, I'll just say it should have been Wheeler Yuta that brought in Daniel Garcia. That's what it should have been. I know why it made sense for it to be John Moxley, considering they were fighting each other at the time. But Wheeler
Yuta, that could be the, what's that saying, the straw that breaks the camel's back?
Yes.
Him bringing in someone as fucking violent and, dare we say, untrustworthy as Daniel Garcia could be the one that stabs him in the back in the end.
It could
be. Helps him. Because either Wheeler, Pac...
But I don't want Daniel to not be in this group either. And I feel like if he's the linchpin that causes it all to fall apart, he shouldn't be a part of it when it's all over, too. Because why the fuck would you want to work with somebody that you...
That's why I still contend that Claudio and John will be executed in the same night. I still contend that when this happens, when Wheeler officially takes over, you will have had the seeds planted with Marina to join him, which I think they've done to an extent very slowly, right? When she's out there supporting him and she's showing that John Moxley can win that Daniel Garcia can win matches, etc. Yeah, I just think there's a lot going into it, and the seeds weren't planted for Blood and Guts at all. But anyways, let's move on. We got a little bit of news today. So Tony Khan did join Ariel Helwani for like an in-studio interview. That is still ongoing as we're recording this. So like, there's some quotes out there, but not enough to really sink our teeth into. So we will talk more about that next week when more people kind of get it going and get it talked about. But that's a very big interview, so I wanted to mention that off the top in case people are watching this on Wednesday. So we got some new AEW trademarks this week in the news. AEW has filed the trademark for Watch AEW, similar to Watch ROH. And they also this week fired trademarks for AEW Fire, AEW Blitz, AEW Firestorm, and AEW Tidal Wave, potential event special names, etc. So keep an eye out for that. We got some announcements from where AEW's touring. And next month, we're back to the Hammerstein Ballroom for Dynamite on the 20th and Christmas Collision on the 21st. So that was fun shows last week. And Collision has yet again announced a 4-week residency in Texas at the Arlington Esports Stadium. Undoubtedly, one of the most successful residencies that AEW's had. January 3rd, 10th, 24th, and 1st, AEW Collision will take place from that venue. So, skipping the 17th there. Maybe pay-per-view? I don't know. We had another interview here, our news story here, where kind of talking about the Full Gear Casino Gauntlet match to determine the first ever AEW National Champion. And Tony Khan was doing a live stream on Friday, I think from his house.
Interesting.
I don't know, but he said he was talking with Billy Corgan, and he said, I ended up having a really nice conversation with the president of NWA. I have a lot of respect for him and a lot of respect for what he's doing. I love traditions of pro wrestling, and I had a really nice talk with him, and we hadn't talked in a long time. So he respects the NWA, and he's wanting to let everyone know that he's trying to do something different here. So I don't know, maybe this is just letting people know that he understands the NWA national champion still exists, and that maybe that inspired this title, etc. I don't know, maybe some people were like, oh, you're just ripping off another guy. Again, I really don't know, but I mean, wanted to touch on that because I think there was always questions of AEW and NWA's relationship because, well, we haven't seen a lot of people from NWA since, whereas we saw Thunder Rosa and holding the NWA title on AEW television before. So, I don't know, it's good to know that they talked and putting out a lot of press releases for this title. So, we'll see when we see, right? But,
yeah.
Shit, I mean, speaking of that, I think we do predictions today. So we'll do that in a second then.
For the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because we won't be doing,
injury updates following Blood and Guts. So, Jamie Hayter, undisclosed injuries to her face and teeth after taking a chair shot.
I told you guys, somebody always gets fucked up.
Yep. Alvarez said her face and teeth are, quote, all messed up.
There you go.
Darby Allin is fine despite being thrown through a flaming table. Of course he is. He was rolling to safety.
Bro, actually, shout out Darby Allin for perfectly demonstrating how to stop, drop, and roll. I mean, he didn't really have a choice on the drop part.
Teach that
falling,
kid. Teach that in school.
Dude, he literally rolled and it was perfect.
Fine despite that bump that he took on the outside of the ring. So, yeah, just Jamie. Yeah. You know, I did want to mention, that was kind of a nasty spot. And I don't know, you know, when you watch the spot back knowing this, there's a chance Jamie didn't know the timing of what was about to happen. And it could have caught her off guard.
Oh, 100%. I mean, when it's a spot like
that.
Her face
was covered. She was technically blinded.
Yeah, so, I mean, sometimes it does happen.
I guess let's...
Like, we watched Cody Rhodes get absolutely fucking annihilated on this show and have his head split open by a chair. Shit happens, you know what I mean?
Shit happens, yeah. So, all right, I guess that being said, Duke, take it away for the rest of Dynamite.
Yeah, it's going to be a real long and thick review here for you. All right.
Yeah, no kidding.
So after the Blood and Guts women's match, we had a video package that set up the next Blood and Guts match. Not even the Blood and Guts. It was to set up the Joe versus, or not Joe, Hobbs versus Hangman match. But it had some flavors of Joe and stuff in there because obviously the big feud there. Jurassic Express were getting beat the shit out of backstage by the Don Callis family. Okada showed the Young Bucks and said, it's time to make a choice, boys. You know? So I guess we'll finally get the payoff to that. And actually, notably, I did actually, you know, I've been watching VTE again, and I don't know if we're going to talk about that on here at all, but in the most recent stuff, you know, he's obviously giving him the action figures and stuff like that. And
yeah, good reminder. I didn't even know if they did one this week.
I'm looking at the Being the Elite channel. There's one from 7 days ago, but it's like,
oh yeah, behind so the they scenes. Wasn't like real minutes. Episodes this week. It was like these little Thanksgiving things, and okay, yeah. So that's what it was.
There was Decision Time from 8 days ago, and I watched that just to like watch it, and then you know, so but I mean,
yeah,
just to like you know, see what the most recent events were. So when they do,
good
pick
shout.
It back up.
We're gonna do those during
more than
our
likely,
news.
This
but...
means I'm guessing the next BTE will probably if they've decided to join the Don Callis family feature Okada, you know, like and it'll be him like being happy that they joined if that's what happens. I mean, I guess this is the point where I ask you, do you think they're joining? I mean,
no.
Okay,
I think the story to me is very clear. The Young Bucks are repenting.
Sure.
So
I was just wondering where we were at, you know, because I mean, shit, people are thinking that we're about to fucking betray Jon Moxley. So who knows where we're at nowadays, you know,
that might be one of the most baffling, like fan conspiracy theories that caught fire this year. Like, I genuinely could not believe
that. I can't think of another thing like that with AEW fans either. We're usually not this like off base. Usually we're pretty on point, but it's not anything. I'm not, like I said, not saying anything. I have thought crazy shit about wrestling before. I am sure that you could definitely,
because you know what inevitably ended up happening, and I guarantee this happened to people. They ended up being disappointed it didn't happen.
Some of them,
like, oh, we just ended the show and it, nothing.
Something crazy happened out there. Was
inevitably
like,
that will did happen to people. There's no way it didn't. That's just how this works.
I hope if you build something up for yourself, a lot of them were at least, if they're smart enough to be thinking this deeply about it, were smart enough to realize that they just misread the situation. But you're probably right. There probably were a lot of people out there that
it's like when Mark Briscoe knocked out. I saw people posting 18,000 different things on who could be replacing him.
As wrestling fans, we need to get over that shit where like we lock into one way of thinking it needs to be, and if it doesn't happen that way, like suddenly you, not only is it bad that you were doing it in the first place because you were mad, because that'll be the thing, Charlie. They'll be mad they're doing it in the first place, and then they'll be mad when they don't do the thing that they were mad about, and then now they can't even be mad about that. So they're just mad that they, because now they think they did it wrong. But it's like, no, just because you thought that was the what they were going to do doesn't mean that's what was the right way to do it. There's a million ways to fucking do things in wrestling that have nothing to do with each other. So, and they can look similar. Like, it's kind of like, and this is what's brilliant about wrestling. The setups in wrestling are kind of like when a defense is disguising in the NFL. Sometimes you'll think they're in cover two, but they're really in man to man. And they're about to fucking intercept the ball because you're going to try and throw it across the middle of the field and the guy's going to be covered by a corner and not a linebacker and he's going to get the interception. You know what I mean? Like, so like in this, sometimes it looks like it's going to be John Moxley is going to get turned on if you just look at it a certain way. But in reality, that was what, you know, sometimes, and maybe this was something we just didn't pick up on. Maybe it was a red herring that they were throwing out there that we just didn't think about. And like, cause we didn't think it was realistic, but like, some people bid on it. I have no idea, but we'll move on from that. Powerhouse Hobbs took on Hangman Adam Page in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Immediately, Hobbs yeeted the turnbuckle. Look, I'll say what I was thinking while I was watching was this match. It was just, this was a good cool down, but it had its own spice to it. There was good stuff here, you know? I think this is another good Hobbs match. And, you know, I think the big spot here was Hobbs getting sent through the electrical table. That was pretty fire, you know? The match was fine. Ops post-match ended up attacking. Eddie and Hook put, you know, their self into the fray, and Samoa Joe asks for the cage to be lowered, and it doesn't work out for him. He runs off, and he's like, Joe, him being Adam Page, if you wanted me in a cage, all you had to do was ask, man. Steel cage match at Full Gear. Sure. Fuck. Why not? You know?
Why not?
Joe will be good in a steel cage, right?
Yep.
So, it'll be fine. Joe's done didn't Joe do a steel cage match in his title reign? I want to say he did.
I'm sure he did.
If he didn't, someone else did, and it was fine. You know what I mean? So, steel cage is a decent stipulation, you know? Yeah, good stuff there. Tony Schiavone introduced Rike, the Dragon Steamboat, who got interrupted by FDR and Big Stick. They talked some trash to him and beat his ass. Brodito made the save. Yay! And this was fine. FDR were good in it, you know? I mean, FDR have been on fire with all their promos lately, so, I mean, That part's good. I mean, yeah, did you have any other thoughts on this? I mean, obviously, we like seeing Ricky the Dragon, fucking legend, you know?
Mm.
And, yeah.
It was a good match. Really good match out of Hobbs. And I think it was smart to put Hangman in this position.
That's good. And then did you have any thoughts on the Ricky the Dragon getting beat up by FTR? Anything on that?
Oh, yeah, no. That was, you know, beating up the legends, right?
Yeah, I mean, hey, look. This is what it is. Yeah, then we had Men's Blood and Guts, and that's it.
On to Collision.
Indeed.
Where we had a fresh show.
I opened this up on my notes by calling it the card rundown of mediocrity. Take that as you will.
So they get the recap of the night. We have Tony Schiavone, Daddy Magic, and Nigel on commentary. We get a trios match where Daniel Garcia, Pac, and Wheeler Yuta taking on Jay Lethal, Adam Priest, and Tommy Billington.
Quite literally the most random trio you can throw together right now on the roster, probably.
Jay Lethal just sliding in anywhere, right? So, yeah, Danny got in Matt's face right away. Pac and Yuta had to pull him away, just keep him focused on the match. Moxley appeared, took over for him on commentary. And look, I think Moxley was trying to brush it off about his team's loss, and he talks about wanting to bring some positive energy into the world, son of a bitch. And look, I thought Tommy Billington looked really solid in this fucking match. Even though he was being, you know, picked apart by Pac like a fucking vulture, he had so many moments, whether it's him getting out of Wheeler Yuta's fucking grippy hat on him and cracking him with that beautiful shotgun dropkick, he always kind of kept his pace and kept his flow moving along. It wasn't enough, though, as Pac hit the submission win on Jay Lethal with the Brutalizer. So, solid match, nothing sexy. Again, kind of a, you know, one of those collisions, to say the least. But solid match here. I'm still interested in seeing where the Garcia-Menard stuff is going to end up going.
And yeah, John Moxley, they should probably have a singles match at some point.
They
right?
should.
And probably on a pay-per-view. Be the biggest match of Matt Menard's career. And then that makes him more legit on commentary. He probably doesn't be on commentary for a little, like, a few weeks after that. But, like, you know, once he's healed or whatever, and then they can kind of do the thing that, like, Danielson does with the Death Riders now, where, like, there's threats, but they're not going to do anything now because you're not getting anything more out of it, you know? So, like...
Exactly. So... You know, Moxley being a little shit on commentary was good too.
Two thirds of our commentary teams, like, or I guess 1/3 of each of our commentary teams being against the Death Riders is pretty funny, you know?
Yeah, it adds a fun little foil to it. Lexi's backstage with Mark Davis. Did you have any thoughts on that match at all?
Yeah, Billington looks good. And
he looked good.
Jay Lethal still gets the crowd going. I mean, maybe, okay, this is going to sound insane. Is there like a TNT championship run for fucking Jay Lethal still in the work, like, potential, do you think? Like, maybe? Like,
I don't know.
I guess like, hey, thanks, you've done a lot in your career. This is like your like moment to be like the TV champion. And he'll be like a true TV champion. He's not even going to defend on pay-per-views, just on every week defending, and then eventually he loses it after like 10 weeks or something like that. Is that something we can do?
I think Jay Lethal's title time passed in AEW and they didn't get it. So I don't see him touching gold.
Yeah, probably his best chance was Trios with Jeff Jarrett and Satnam Singh. Is Satnam Singh even still on the roster?
I think even him as a tag with Jeff Jarrett was arguably one of their better shots. It's just, I think his time passed, you know? I mean, look, it all could all change if he gets featured in the C2 again, like he was in the C2 year one, right? But, yeah. So, Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher. Really cool idea to get them in an interview. He said he's tired of hearing about Mark Briscoe, and Ed Fulgieri is going to put him in his place for good. Mark Davis talks about how Briscoe would be nothing more but dinner for him later tonight. Fletcher then said he addressed the TNT Championship challenge of Scorpio Sky, declaring he'd end up saying Fletcher's full name once all was said and done. So it's cool seeing those guys together.
Shout out to Scorpio Sky still demanding this title shot at his level. I like that they just haven't forgotten this guy was a TNT champion at one point, you know, like
with an unbelievable record. I noticed the records were brought back for Full Gear too, or for Blood and Guts.
You know, we can do records as long as we don't require them for you to get like title shots and stuff. That's the thing. Like, there are going to be times where someone's record just does not reflect how over they are with the audience, and you just got to let that go. Sometimes.
I mean, Willow was like 75-50 or something.
Because we've
just
seen what happens, right? Tony Khan tried to do it before. You end up padding the stats. You don't have fucking Dark to do that anymore. So you'd have to start just throwing random ass matches to get the records up. And it's like, that's fine. But then you have to really be careful. That's why it's great that we have 157 people on the roster, because you can just throw out people that aren't really being used right now to lose a match, even though they're legit, and it adds to that flavor. But I still, as long as we're just tracking the records and that's it, I'm cool with that. But we don't need everyone to be like 12-0 to get a title shot. I'm okay with that not being the case.
Yeah.
You know, like,
fun little interview with Timeless Toni Storm and Mina. You know, Storm goes off about how if you went after the love of her life, you'd be starring 5 shit-ass slop tarts. She's just going on and on. She ends it with, "Don't ask God for mercy. He's a big fan of our work." So, yeah, she was pretty funny in this. But, yeah, so we get into our next match where we have Mark versus Mark.
You fucking Mark!
I wondered if we still had that sound, but
and
we were marking out for this match, buddy.
Yeah, that was big time. Where Briscoe takes on Davis.
I was just hoping Mark won.
And, you know, to be fair, Mark did win. So, look, Mark proved he was superior Mark of AEW after hitting the Froggy Bow and the victory. You know, so it was solid. It was solid. I don't know if I love Davis as a singles. I think he's so good as a tag. But for this role, for putting the guy over, it was fine.
I mean, look, here's the thing.
It was fun.
We know Kyle's going to the world title pretty soon after he loses his TNT championship, but there could be a little buffer zone where they don't win the tag titles, but they go on a little run because the tag division maybe needs a little spice. If somebody wants to go out, maybe they get a shot at Brodito, but they don't win. And then Kyle's pissed. He's like, I'm done with tag team wrestling. I'm going to be the champion.
Fuck it. We ball.
You know, that could maybe. That could be the thing that skyrockets him to really be motivated to go after the world title. And it would give him the time. It would give Hangman a little bit more rope to deal with whatever's left of this title reign, or whoever's going to come in next, if it's Joe, or whoever the fuck's going to win it off of him, if someone else is going to before the end of this year. Because I honestly don't know what's happening with the world title anymore. God only knows, you know? Like
Christopher Daniels hyping up Scorpio Sky for his match. Josh Alexander wants to beat up Kenny Omega in Boston. So in order to do that, he starts beating the shit out of Michael Nakazawa. Ty Mello defeats Taya Valkyrie. Pretty quick, man. Wait,
will we get a Michael Nakazawa injury update on the next BTE, do you think?
I hope so. I would love if Kenny hijacked it and you'd get like a Kenny cam. That's what we're missing.
Yeah.
But
they need
short,
to reconcile first, otherwise why would
short,
they be on
sweet
it?
Little match. Tony Storm ran out and started beating up Marina Shafir after the match. A lot of shenanigans are afoot. But yeah, makes sense with Ty Mello defeating Valkyrie with them being in the tournament. TNT Championship match, Kyle Fletcher versus Scorpio Sky. Scorpio goes to shake his hand. Kyle kicks that thing away. I thought they set a good little pace in this. They kind of were, there was a good feeling out process. Scorpio Sky kind of had like a leg injury that he faked that he used to roll up Kyle. Would have been a sneaky little victory. They go to the outside. They're beating shit up. Kyle's beating up Christopher Daniels. You know, everything you'd kind of want from this. It just ended up being a solid match. Good reversals with their signature, you know, submission maneuvers, if you will. I thought it was just solid. Nothing to completely write home about, but a good, solid TNT title match that we knew the result of before it even rang the bell. And yeah, after the match, Briscoe comes out, attacks him. Davis comes out, attacks Sky. Then Briscoe and Top Flight chase them off. Briscoe grabs the mic. Not even the ambush will bring him down.
I literally wrote yada yada at this point in my notes.
He was just, you know,
it's
doing
fine.
The thing.
This feud is, it's AEW Backlash. It's fine. You know what I mean? It is what it is. But I want to go back to the fucking MXMTV casting call because I got to shout out fucking Mansoor with the slack-jawed, odious... Wait, what is it? Slack-jawed, odious troglodytes? Are you fucking kidding me, dude? I'm using that at some point when I'm about to quit a job or something.
He's
sick
pretty
of you
good
slack-jawed,
at what,
odious troglodytes.
He's pretty good. But, you know, this match was really the vet versus the young gun, if you will, right? And they kind of brought that fun energy to it.
Scorpio looked really good here, I think.
Yeah.
I think he took this opportunity and did something with it.
People forget Scorpio's this long-time fucking veteran. So, you know, he adds that element to the match. I don't know. We're going to do our full gear predictions in a minute, but it seems like why wouldn't Briscoe win?
It's yeah, I mean, like I said, right, if you want to do the tag run, which maybe even after talking about this, both these segments, maybe that's what they're going for. I actually wasn't even thinking that, but maybe that is the plan. They're going to run a little bit of tag for a bit to get, you know, Kyle's mojo back. They'll win a bunch of matches, not win the titles. Maybe they don't even get the title shot. Maybe it goes to another fatal four-way or four corners for who gets the shot. They're in that match, but they're the ones that lose or something like that. You know what I mean?
And again,
like,
if and when the Don Callis family civil war happens, Fletcher could side with Takeshita and go after Okada's belts.
100%. What if that's what breaks them up finally and Davis goes with the other side? You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. It could happen.
Dude, all this actually kind of writes itself because if the civil war's brewing in the background, Okada finally gets the Bucks, you know, not on his side anymore, so he's vulnerable, so he starts making other allies, right? He slowly gets Kyle over to his side. Maybe that turns some of the other people, like, maybe that could be the thing that turns Davis, because he's like, why are you trusting in these other guys? I've been your partner this whole time. That's why I'm going with Takeshita, blah, 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 something like that. You know what I mean? Like, Takeshita actually fucking has wrestled with you. Okada's just fully wanting to steal you away, something like that. And then it leads to them actually splitting off because we never got a proper split for them. It was just injury related. And then it just felt like the right move for Kyle's career. But now it might be right to be, because we always talk about they're going to have to go back to this thing eventually. This might be the time to tell that story about how you actually separate those two.
Maybe.
And then maybe Mark Davis gets another tag partner out of that or something. Who knows? But or he just, maybe we actually figure
and
out what he is.
We saw how good
singles.
He was when Howell was
saw,
his tag partner.
We could, I guarantee they could have a good match against each other at least. So, you know.
Oh, God, yeah. So They definitely
that could. That could have a, again, we could be doing the thing everyone else is doing where I'm seeing something that's not really there, but that's, you know, that could be something they actually go with. I hope that they do, but if they don't, then I'm sure that
I mean, they got to have a plan for Kyle if he loses this belt. We can't keep him off TV. And for that 3 feels
like a good plan
just...
to me, you know, like just throw him in tag and you know he's good in that and he hasn't done it in forever. And Aussie opens a tag team, that in this current division would fucking slap. So, you know, like I think it'd be a good move. I think it'd be a good move.
Oh, yeah.
And then
promo package for the 200K tailgate brawl. Acclaim versus Bang Bang versus Big Bill versus Outrunners. Cool.
Sure. Yeah. Someone
Renee narrated video talking about Mercedes versus Statlander at Full Gear.
She's killing it with these videos.
She is. Riho and Alex Windsor versus Maya World and Hyan. Hyan, I believe is how they said it.
I guess this would have been a match for that other team, right?
Yep.
I guess
they gave them a little bit of time.
Alize and
Nixon Newell. Yeah.
This would have been their spot. They would have gotten more
but
time
hey,
here.
If Maya World ends up being someone that benefits from this, who Maya's fucking great.
Yeah.
And everything we've seen of
future Ring of Honor world champion, in my opinion.
Probably. I liked Riho and Alex Windsor's chemistry here. They were kind of the odd ones out in this tournament, being
that because they were just slapped together. I think they had wrestled like one match as a tag team prior to this or something, maybe, or at least they'd had interactions.
I actually really liked their vibe together.
Yeah, they work.
So this was a good position. Now, it could have been cool if they were facing that other tag team, but you know, hey, shit happens, right?
Every one of these random ass tag teams should be like, this is my friend that will back me up now too, even if they don't have names. Like post this tournament, they should all be like fucking war torn and fucking, you know, comrades. That's what I think, you know?
Yeah.
Even if they lost first round.
Tony and Mina came out at the end. And
you can drop that one because she's got Billy Starks already if they ever do that again.
Exactly.
But, you know,
they're going to have a bloody good time in their match. Bloody good. Bloody good. So Kyle O'Reilly relishing in the victory. Video package. Mox is angry. He leaves commentary. Says, "Oh, fans chanted at him, 'You tapped out.'" And the Death Riders leader said, "O'Reilly was not like him. He was not built like him." Moxley says, "O'Reilly cannot be him again." So if they want another rematch, or if they want another match, they know where to find him in the Death Riders. Guessing.
So
anarchy in the arena. He called out the whole conglomeration.
Did we already have Anarchy in the Arena this year?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess we don't have a limit on how many we can have, technically. We've never
fucking stadium stampede. What are we doing? Oh, fuck it.
Christ.
Let's do it at MetLife. How many knees can it claim?
All of them. but no, I mean, fuck. I mean, we could do whatever. Yeah, whatever. I didn't think that, but fuck it. We ball. I'd be down for anything. I just saw
some type of
singles
fuckery.
Match. But, hey,
yeah, some type
know.
Of fucker you shall be afoot. Indeed. All-star 8-man tag team action. FTR, La Facción Ingobernable versus Bandido, Jet Speed, and Juice Robinson. Fun little hard Diglettite here. We had a good time. There was a double noggin knocker at one point.
Indeed.
From Juice
Robinson. The juice was loose.
Juice at one point grabs Dax Harwood by his invisible hair and hits him with the "shut your bitch ass up, old sport."
He
good
did.
Stuff there. And yeah, the babyfaces pick up the victor. I have to say something about this match.
Mm-hmm.
There was an odd man out.
Okay.
Sammy Guevara. What the fuck was he doing? What in the ever-living fuck was he doing in this match?
He's tag partners with Roosh.
Dude, he just looked so out of place. Everything looked wrong. From the moment he tags in and he goes for that dive off the top rope, I'm like, he like fakes it out. And I'm like, I just don't understand. He looked lost. He looked like Deontay Banks against the Packers last week. The guy just looked lost. And I don't know what happened here. Because typically in this kind of match, Sammy's the guy that's going to steal the show, if you will. Maybe I had an extra eye on him because I keep him to such high standard in this match. Supremely disappointed in Sammy Guevara in this match.
I mean, look. I'm going to say something that might be very unpopular to some people, but I actually think in ring, as fantastic as he is as a high flyer, I think when it comes to actual in-ring psychology, he might be the weakest of the pillars.
That seems fair. I think at one point he might have been ahead of Jungle Boy, but it feels like Jungle Boy's progressed.
After going to Mexico, after going to Japan, I feel like that was the thing he learned really well over there, was how to structure a match with his style of wrestling. And he's completely changed his style of wrestling since then. He still can do the Jungle Boy stuff, but he's, you know, almost Will Ospreay at this point in terms of like what he's done with his style, you know, completely reinventing himself. Whereas Sammy Guevara is kind of just, I feel like, and this is going to, again, be incredibly unpopular to say, I feel like he's just coasted the last couple of years in terms of, like, improving. And that's kind of, I feel like, why he's, like, banished to Ring of Honor right now. So, like, I feel like it's not that surprising because he's in there with the best wrestlers in the company right now. So it's like, and Juice,
it was
has
so
shown in the past that he can hang with those people because of the matches with the Bang Bang Gang and FTR.
Correct.
On Collision, so we know he's already an elite wrestler. At least he can be in moments, shown to be on the same level as those guys. And when Sammy was put in the same position, it turns out he did not look the same way. And that is something I think we should seriously note, you know? Like,
yeah, I'm very curious if other people felt that way too. Like, again, I might have just had a little bit of a keen eye on him. I don't know what it was, but, you know, everyone's doing so good in this match. I mean, Cash Wheeler didn't really do anything of note, but, you know, sometimes he doesn't. You don't have to in an 8-man match that only gets a couple minutes. It felt like it wasn't that long of a match, but yeah, it was very interesting, the route they took. But yeah, really good shout out to Juice here. And the Ultima weapon moonsault was attempted. Dax got out of the way and Bailey hit him on the apron, and then Roosh rolled up Bandido. So yeah, after the 21 plex and all that. So, Bandido won off the 21 plex, my bad. So yeah, it was solid main event, but I got to call it like I see it. And it unfortunately really stood out to me. So yeah. Inevitably, this is going to end up being a little bit of a shorter show with Dynamite being 3 matches. That's just kind of the way it works. So let's get a little preview to this week. So we're doing the 3-hour Dynamite again, which is really 2 hours Dynamite, 1 hour Collision, plus the tailgate brawl on Saturday. Hangman Page versus Katsuyori Shibata. Kind of the match that we were circling a little bit with this Samoa Joe feud, so that's kind of nice. ROH Women's Television Title Unification Match, Mercedes versus Red Velvet. Awesome seeing Red Velvet back on TV.
Welcome back.
I have anticipation for this match. I have some anticipation. I want it to kind of shock people. So, hopefully I'm right. Hopefully I'm not putting too much pressure in my head. But, Double Jeopardy match. Okada versus Dorada. If Okada wins, Don Callis' family gets a future shot at Sky Team CMLL World Trios title. If Dorada wins, he gets a future shot at the AEW Unified title. 2 women's tag tournament matches, Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa versus Riho and Alex Windsor, and Ty J versus Megan Bain and Marina Shafir, and a Kenny Omega appearance. So, since they're in Boston, is Red Velvet going to heal it up a little bit?
I mean, I think it's going to be wild. I think Mercedes might still get booed in Boston.
She might, yeah.
It all depends on what the crowd's feeling. If they want to cheer, then yeah, maybe she'll... I don't mean, because Red Velvet has been a heel. So.
I'm hoping they see how it plays out.
Yeah,
you know, don't go in there with a strict plan of, okay, Mercedes the heel no matter what. Because if she's getting like super big babyface reactions, I think that presents such a big opportunity for Red Velvet to really show off that heel work, and it would be the adaptability working on the fly, this, that, and the other. So let's get into these full gear things. So,
look, and it kind of might even be set up for that anyway, because, I mean, if she loses to her and loses her title on her first match back, that kind of sets up a potential heel run anyway. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Duke, first match I'm going to toss to you on full gear, kind of just a singles match. Darby Allin versus Pac. Who do you got?
I'll take the Darbster here. I think, you know, he's on a run right now. I think we've been thinking for a while now, it ends in a world title run for him at this point. And I think even if he doesn't want it, I feel like that's a smart move. You know, he's got so much momentum. Him as the world champion would be legendary, even if it only lasted like 4 or 5 weeks. You know, like, So I think he's going to win here. He probably will still idle for a bit while we figure out what's going on with the world title, because we need a heel to be probably the champion for him to go after it. So
yeah. Well, he could also take this momentum, because I agree, and go after the Continental Classic and perhaps go after that title.
I would like that for Darby. He doesn't feel like the kind of guy you throw in there, but he would absolutely kill it just because of his ability.
He killed it last year. So
yeah.
Look, he does good work, and he is the television fucking wrestler. So
100%.
Let's let it fucking roll.
I'd be down.
All right.
Him versus Okada could slap.
Yeah, right? So let's get that at World's End. No DQ match for the AEW TNT Championship. If Briscoe loses, he will be forced to join the Don Callis family. We have Kyle Fletcher versus Mark Briscoe. So Kyle Fletcher has had this championship 108 days.
Okay.
I think they've done so many things to point us in the direction of Mark Briscoe winning this title. I think it's to kind of get us to get in line with it a little bit. And I think Mark Briscoe is going to beat him. So now, no DQ match. Really, it should be a no brainer for Kyle Fletcher to win this, but I don't know. There's just something about it.
Even think about how this was set up. It wasn't like Mark Briscoe demanded another match.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, we want you again. And this time it's going to be no disqualification.
Why would they run this back for a sixth time if it wasn't to fucking switch titles, right?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It will feel like a bit of a what the fuck. Like, it'll be like, if here's the thing. If this pay-per-view happens and all the matches that we're running back just have the same result, it's going to feel like, what the fuck was the point of this? But, I mean, I don't think that's the way that it's going to go. Maybe for all of them, at least. Like, at least one of them has to change, right? Maybe? I don't fucking know.
Hypothetically. So, I don't know. Where are you lining with this?
Yeah, no, I think Briscoe's winning as well.
Briscoe?
I would have thought he was winning it a while ago, to be honest with you, with how many times they've run this guy. Yeah. So, if it doesn't happen here, I guess the way you can put it is this. If he doesn't win it here, he's not winning it. So, you know.
Yeah, no. Mark Briscoe, I don't see him winning a singles title if he doesn't win this one. I agree with that.
Like, and this guy was Ring of Honor World Champion like a year and a half ago or something. Like,
yeah, it feels like that window's closing right now. And again, I say that, but you never know. But I'm just saying, with the way the booking's going, at least in the next calendar year.
You know what sounds crazy to me, but like might actually be true? Based on that trajectory of being Ring of Honor World Champion, by now he should have won the TNT Championship and maybe should be contending for the world title toward the beginning of next year. Like, if you follow the trajectory of being a world champion in the other company, like, that's what that should look. If we're saying that's like essentially like developmental, if you win the developmental world title, it should set you up to be a future world champion, right? So
yeah. You'd think. So
in theory, he should be on that track by now, because it's not like Kyle wasn't like, you know, a year and a half ago. We already saw the track of him going toward the world title, because we did, you know, like, so I don't know. It's tough for Mark. You know, we've been saying this for a while. It's tough because he's actually pretty good. But for some reason, it doesn't seem to.
These guys need to have a better match this pay-per-view. Bar none, they need to have a better match. It's not often you're going to hear me say that. But if they have a stinker like last one, which, straight up, that was a stinker, especially on pay-per-view. We know what they're capable of. They had, like, collision match of the year last year. It's time to fucking lock it back in. Let's get a great match. So, it's one of the only singles matches, too. There's only four. So, all right, Duke, big one for you. Casino Gauntlet match for the inaugural AEW National Championship. The only announced entrants: Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, Ricochet, Kevin Knight, and Speedball Mike Bailey. What's your gut telling you with this match?
If the idea with this championship is it's going to be like the championship that we take all over the place and defend everywhere, and also it defended all the time and that sort of thing, it should be somebody who's a good wrestler who got ties elsewhere. I'm trying to think who can do the most with that. But you know what just occurred to me? We haven't seen MJF in quite some time. So it might be like an MJF return, wins the thing. Could be that. These are so hard to predict when we don't know who's going to be in them, you know, because it could be anybody. Yeah. Other than the people that we know that aren't in. Like, I know it's not going to be Pac because he's wrestling earlier in the night. I mean, I guess he could still be in it, but I think it's unlikely. Let me think. I wish Will Ospreay was available. You know? I just say him because that'd be fun, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough.
I guess. Can give you mine because I got two. And it might help you. You might be thinking along the same lines here. My favorite is still Hechicero.
That would be good, yeah.
The other one I'm really thinking is Mascara Dorada.
Yeah, Dorada's the one that I'm thinking. Did they do
a red herring here by putting him on against Okada on this match this week? Is that a red herring almost?
So we don't think that he's going to be in the match because he's getting a shot to potentially get a shot. Like, maybe he even wins that match and gets
like, the
future
shot at Okada.
Like, what
happens if he beats Okada then wins this title? But you could say the same thing. What happens if he loses to Okada
then
wins
then we
his
have
title?
Three singles titles unified. Don't talk about that. No.
Yeah. And again, I do understand this is a little bit of me hope booking here. I fully acknowledge that. It feels so right that one of these luchadors should win this title. I just think there's
Claudia
so many.
Winning this unironically, I'm sure he has connections in the European wrestling scene. That could be really interesting. You know, like, Claudio hasn't won anything in a while. And this championship, at least until it gets going, isn't going to mean anything. So, you know, like,
it's got options.
Yeah, I think I like Dorada the best as an option. I mean, Bobby Lashley could win this, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I just want it to not feel like another singles title.
I like it. I mean, I'd love a Speedball one this. I don't think that's likely because of how good the tag team is right now. But, I mean, it doesn't mean he couldn't still be singles champion and be in a tag team. That's not unheard of.
It just
of.
Feels like this is the perfect title for Hechicero.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think he would be a great champion, great first champion. This guy is basically a legend in Mexico, as we've talked about before, with the technical wrestling prowess that he has. It's one of those things. So. Yeah, I acknowledge probably Shelton Benjamin, probably Ricochet, probably Bobby Lashley have your best shot. But I really feel in my bones that we're going to do one of these luchadors. I just think it makes too much sense. So, yeah, we'll keep it with those guys, huh? All right. So, $1 million trios match, Young Bucks and Josh Alexander versus Kenny Omega and Jurassic Express. Kenny and Express win, and I think this is where the Young Bucks repent. Unlike that Jon Moxley storyline from this week, the seeds have been planted for fucking weeks, months, goddamn near a year for this to happen. It's happening. Is it going to be today? I don't know. But it's happening, and it's happening soon. So, we'll see. It's going to be a fucking passionate BTE episode. We'll have a lot of fun talking about this BTE episode in the next Eat Sleep Elite we do. But I got Omega and Express picking up the dub here.
I think this is going to be probably a match of the year contender, I would think.
It's going to be special.
Josh is really good, but the Young Bucks and Jurassic Express we know can make magic. And Kenny Omega, I can imagine, is going to see somebody like Josh Alexander and be like, a worthy contender, you know, like, and that's going to be insane. So,
and we talk about like that, almost like that romantic kind of vibe you can really get off in wrestling. And when you look at the history of Kenny Omega and the Bucks, you're going to have that brotherhood, that romanticism that we're looking for in matches. It's going to add a different layer of emotional stakes to the match, and it's going to be good. So I'm with you. I think
there will be
a
spot when Kenny is solo in the ring after just beating Josh Alexander and sending him out of the ring, and his two partners will have gone down prior because the Bucks maybe will take them out. He'll slide into the ring. It'll be the two of them set up the double super kick. They'll hesitate and he'll hit some kind of double drop kick or something on them, but there'll be like a quick stare down that is just gonna have so like, there's gonna be chills. I'm getting chills even talking about it, you know, like
it's God, when we talk about long-term booking, it's shit like this, man. It's been teed up and it's here. I got a good one for you here next. Brodito FTR World Tag Team Championship. Who do you got? Let me get that stat real quick for you. Brodito have held this belt for 84 days.
So I'm the biggest FTR fan in the world. Everybody here knows that. They're my favorite tag team in the world. If the Young Bucks weren't having like the craziest year ever, I would, you know, be ringing the bell for them, you know, but the Young Bucks are being the Young Bucks. So I can't, sometimes you just can't help it. You know what I mean? But also Brodito are kind of in the lead right now, I think, for team of the year. And to be honest with you, man, I think in my mind, at one point, I was like, man, maybe FTR are about to just win these championships at the end of the year, and we just kind of coast on that toward the end. But now I'm starting to think that I think Brodito keeping these tag titles for as long as they possibly can, Charlie, might be the best move for business in the tag team division, because they keep putting on good matches. That's not going to change here. And I don't think FTR need the championships right now. Their gimmick is good enough with Stoke. To be honest with you, I think this is a no-brainer. FTR don't win the match here. As much of a fan of them as I am, I don't think it's time to take it off of Brodito yet.
I like that. I like that. Good shout there. Yeah, shit. I mean, when you really start thinking about it, Brodito have beaten the best of the best upon the best of the best. So there's one undeniable thing I can't look past, though, Duke. Edge and Christian versus FTR for these titles. Again, I think it just, is it too obvious? Is it too obvious to miss? I don't know. But I think FTR are winning. Will they return here? I don't know. I know Copeland has been filming, and that's why they took that slight break, right? I think if you're going to do the World's End, and do we want to just jump back into that feud? Again, I don't know.
I think if you're going to do that, you have to have Adam Copeland and Christian come out, because we haven't even seen Christian. There was like a thought that there was going to be a Christian versus Nick Wayne or Nick Wayne's associates feud, but clearly Nick Wayne's injury was more serious than they thought, and that just got shelved. So because we haven't seen either of them, you have to immediately have them come out at the end of this pay-per-view match, because if they don't, people are going to need, you're going to need to then really set it up on Dynamite Collision. Because
just when we hear that history of how Cash and Dax got Adam back into the wrestling shape and all that, even when he returned to WWE, when they were, you know, when they did all that, for those guys to actually be able to put him over and give him his real last championship, can you imagine what that would mean for them? So, yeah, I think that star is shining so bright in my predictions that I can't ignore it.
But what is the thing that we've been saying about Brodito from the beginning? Nobody wanted this tag team. It was the most random tag team of all time. It's looked good on paper, but nobody was thinking tag team champions when they put them together randomly, you know?
No, not at all.
They
wasn't on anybody's radar.
Then when they
were an afterthought in that match to win the titles.
Yes. And then when they won them, we were all like, holy shit, this team might be legit. And they've proven that they are over the last however long, 84 days, you said, that they've been champions.
And they've gone on to have one of the best tag team title reigns, if it continues or not. It doesn't matter.
That's the thing. If it ends today or ends at this pay-per-view, they're still a top three tag team title run in AEW, probably.
It's
maybe top
one
four,
of the
top
best tag team title runs in the history of the company.
So
it's been that good.
That's the thing about Brodito. They're doing the thing in wrestling that you have to do to make yourself a star, which is they took the ball. They didn't get given the ball. The ball was thrown out into the ring and they said, somebody grab this. They fucking grabbed it and they ran with it. And that is how you make yourself a star in wrestling. It's not just being because Tony Khan booked you in this spot and you nailed it. Sometimes you're booked in that spot and Tony Khan doesn't think anything of you. And he thinks, all right, I'm just going to throw this team together. Or maybe sometimes Tony Khan just has a brainchild idea. And he's like, yo, Brodito, it's going to be the greatest thing ever. Who knows? We'll never know, because Tony Khan doesn't really, you know, talk about how they make the donuts like that. But like that, again, that'd be another question I'd love to ask him. How did this come about? Was it something that you wanted to do from the beginning? Or was this something that just organically created? Because to me, it feels organic. So even if it's not, the fact that it feels that way, that is everything. So it's tough to take it off of them right now, I think, for that reason. But I completely understand where you're coming from. But that's just, in my mind, do you abandon what's hot in the moment for something that you could still do in the future?
Oh, agreed. You could very well still do it. And FTR still got at least, I think, 2 years left. So
at minimum a year, you know, so yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Hangman Adam Page versus Samoa Joe, steel cage match, the AEW world title. Hangman has held this title for 122 days as of right now. Won it at All In. Massive moment. Massive moment. They're running back the Samoa Joe thing, which really elevates the stakes for Samoa Joe to win the match. I mean, his odds have to go way up, given that it's another title shot. Given that he's a current champion, that he's won the TNT title twice, that he's won the world championship before, his odds have to be higher than before. I don't see him ending this title reign, though. Maybe if we do it again at a World's End, I'll be changed. I got Hangman winning this. So that's where I'm at. What do you got for this one?
Yeah, Joe loses, keep it moving. I don't even think this is that hard to think about. I'll say this, though. This is one of those scenarios where, like, I feel like if Joe wins, we're just going to be sitting there like, okay, where are we going now? You know, like...
I'll say this, though, too. If Joe wins, I don't think it would be that reactionary. I think they've built up the seeds for him to win.
Yeah, no, he could win.
I really do think they've put in the work where if he wins, it's going to be like, okay, that was actually a legit plan. That was really good.
It'll feel like, what the fuck were we doing with Hangman for the last few months? Why did we build two fucking years of this
storyline? This will be the worst AEW title reign if he loses it here.
100%.
Because he can still resurrect this thing.
Yeah, he has to do it here, though, by having an incredible match, winning, and then going on to have even more incredible matches. So, like, at this point, it's one of those moments where you either fucking pull the ripcord and you just put Joe as champion and you figure out, and you probably just have him be champion through the end of the year into the next pay-per-view, and then you drop him to somebody else at the beginning of the year to set us off on a new direction at Revolution, whatever the fucking pay-per-view is.
World's End.
No, the pay-per-view at the beginning of next year.
It might be one of those like Australia things again.
Sure,
so.
whatever the first big show where you could have a title match at is of next year, you start there and you continue throughout the year from there, I guess. But yeah, I mean, shit, maybe that's where you put it on Kyle. Fuck, you know? But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, so I think if they don't have Hangman win here, it's going to be fine, but I'm going to be very disappointed that they just spent 2 years building up this Hangman story for him to get back to the world title, and it ultimately didn't do anything, really. That would be incredibly disappointing. That's why I think it's not happening. So, you know?
Look, when it's all said and done, he might be like a 7-8 time AEW world champion, right? Assuming he stays in AEW and he's one of those kind of lifers, if you will.
Out of 8 championship even reigns, if he goes, one of them is going to be a dud, you know? Yeah. Like, so, yeah.
So, again, assuming he is one of those guys here from the beginning, I think he's going to be he's going to win the title a few times. So, sometimes this will happen, right? But, okay, so we're both in agreement, though. All right, here you go. You get the home run one here. AEW Women's World Championship singles match, Statlander versus Mercedes. First question I want to ask you, do you think this will/should main event, and who do you got winning?
I think this should main event. Will it main event? It'll probably be called co-main event if it does, so whatever, you know?
It's easy to put Steel Cage on last.
That might be what goes on last, so keep that in mind. But I do think this has enough to main event. God, this is always the problem when it's Mercedes, huh? Because
she's
like
the hardest wrestler to predict ever.
Because it's like, will they?
Because the minute you feel secure, she fucking loses.
Because they might, you know? Because she's got fucking 13 championships right now. So what's 14? You know?
Yeah.
So there's that aspect of everything. Mercedes is also the best women's wrestler in the world, PWI confirmed, you know what I mean?
Yep, she is the top dog right now.
So there's that aspect as well.
Statlander's only had this thing. She's going to be at like 57 days, 54 days by the pay-per-view, somewhere around
this
there.
This is so tough because I have her as wrestler of the year right now. You know what I mean? Like for the women. So like Mercedes, that being, you know?
Yeah, so, same.
So it's like, what a cap to a year like that would be. But is this the time? But the thing is, I don't think she gets another shot this year if she doesn't win it here. So
this is the
like,
second time going for the world title. Again, should be mentioned. She did go for the title. Who was it? Mariah May or Toni Storm? One of them had the title and she went for it.
I think it was Toni, I want to say.
Yeah. So
and it was a really good match.
Yep.
So it's like,
take that same argument I just made for Samoa Joe and apply it here.
It's so tough, though, because it's just kind of like the Brodito situation, because Chris is doing such good stuff. I mean, she hasn't really been defending the title a whole lot, but we all know what she's capable of as champion. And it's like, do you throw that away for Mercedes, who you know you're going to get an insane title run out of? And I think it's as simple as, I think until she loses that TBS title, dude, I think that's what it's going to take. I think that genuinely might be what it is. Because I just, I think that's the thing you always come back to with her right now is, yes, she's got 13 championships. But are we going to have her defend twice in one night? I mean, maybe,
that's
but I don't know.
That's the thing I keep getting stuck on, too. I just don't know if he wants to do that with his singles title. Now, we've seen MJF do it with the world title in a tag, and we know it got messy.
Yeah, they just didn't defend those things hardly
at
all.
It got very messy.
MJF beat two guys at once.
Yeah, so... yeah. So you sticking with... Sticking with Stat here?
I think I have to stick with Stat. And you know what? I'll be incredibly happy if Mercedes wins. She'll be incredibly well-deserved. I think this is a fucking brilliant thing that Tony Khan has right now because of her being so fucking hot everywhere else that they know they can just put her against any champion in AEW and every other champion can lose them to her. But the main world champion, maybe at least until it's somebody who isn't like, maybe if Stat gets beat by somebody like Tekla, who could afford to lose the title after getting it, or somebody like that, some heel Megan Bain, who doesn't Megan need Bain. To keep the championship forever, you know? Like, I think that might be the scenario where she finally wins it, because it just, you can't handicap Chris Statlander's world title reign just to put it on Mercedes. That just feels wrong, you know? Like,
and Chris Statlander, so we've already seen, we talk about seeds being planted. Chris Statlander has already started the seed of potentially Mercedes crash out angle when it does happen, right? We saw it with the cake. That was the beginning of, that's what this character is going to turn into when she starts losing titles. And where she takes that to potentially being the babyface in the future, right, is something that could play out. And yeah, I echo a lot of same things you do. I think the TBS title is, I don't want to see that title with the world champion. And I know that will play into my booking view, if you will. I know that will. But I also have to think he doesn't either. And she beat Statlander in December last year in one of the best women's pay-per-view matches ever in the company. So I just think there's so much playing into it. I agree. I actually think Statlander's going to win. And you know, same mindset you have too. If Mercedes loses, or if Mercedes wins, I'm going to be fucking stoked for her because, you know, she's obviously earned it after this incredible
sad
year.
For Statlander, though. Same thing.
It will be
like,
sad for Statlander.
It's the same thing with Hangman Adam Page. If they fucking torpedo these things at the beginning, both of them, like, it's just the saddest fucking pay-per-view.
Statlander, in a way, is going to get the Samoa Joe title reign that he got after, which led to the Swerve title reign, or vice versa, right? So it does happen. Like, this type of title reign does happen. CM Punk's title reigns ended up kind of being this because of injury and suspension, but that's a whole different fucking thing. Like, I don't know. I can't really recall, except for Hikaru Shida's second title reign, where this has happened in the women's division. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I want its main event.
The more times that she gets the title shot, Mercedes, the less likely it is that she's not going to win it. That's the reality.
Yeah, that's why I was saying you got to take the Samoa Joe argument I just made and apply it here. Because this is the second one, right? So the odds have to be higher. And when they're higher odds for a wrestler like of this fucking caliber, you can't ignore it. And you have to acknowledge this too. If there was one wrestler that could probably do this, she's got the highest odds of that. Because I think next it would be...
And let's say, in theory, if we're making the odds, the best wrestler odds-wise to win any match right now should be the world champion, right? So
yep.
So Hangman and Chris Statlander should be best odds to win any match that they're posted in, even if it's a tag match, just because inevitably that should be the way that it works. But there are people, and this is where it works in sports too, you can be the number one seed in the NFL, but there are teams that can come in, especially out of conference teams, that can come in and be the favored team because of their record, you know what I mean, or because of what they've done throughout the year. That is a real thing. You could be the best team in your conference, and there are two better teams that are not even the best team in their conference on the other side. That's a real thing that can happen, you know, like, so.
Absolutely. Yep.
And then you get made to look like a fool. So that's a thing that could happen here to Statlander. She might be the best wrestler besides Mercedes right now, but Mercedes might just be the best wrestler right now. So it's like, that is, you know, that is a thing that you have to consider.
And I think with how we've set these stakes, I think we've made the argument too why this leads to main event. It's time. It's time. This should absolutely, undoubtedly main event over Joe and Hangman. And I'm gonna tell you right now, it's gonna be bullshit if it doesn't. Make up for your mistake of not having Mariah and Tony main event. Make up for it. Repent, Khan. Repent, motherfucker. Now, so yeah, this is gonna be awesome. This is gonna be awesome.
What kind of sprint do you think awesome. Tony Khan would have?
Fucking pain sprint, little bitch.
Hey, no.
My bad. He's cool. He's cool.
He'd have like fucking excitement sprint, probably.
Yeah, right. You'd have like fucking some everlasting searcher sprint or something. The guy's constantly on the find for the next big fucking thing.
You know what I can't wait for? It's kind of already happened, but you know what I'm so excited for to finally have happen? Tony Khan's going to find somebody one day that nobody's ever heard of, and they're going to be the greatest wrestler to ever walk the earth. I can't wait for that to happen. He's got the brain for it. He's got him and Brian Danielson are going to put their heads together, morph into one amorphous being called Tony Danielson, and which sounds like a porn star name, but whatever, you know, and they're going to fucking put, you know, become like the movie together, you know, and then they're going to find the perfect wrestler. And it's going to be glorious to watch because Tony Khan's going to do it. And maybe he already did with like, you know, I'm not sure who we would say is that yet, but like maybe Queen Aminata, because I'd never heard of her before. So, you know, like, but like, I wonder if that, do you think that will happen eventually? Do you think that person's already there? Like, that's a random ass question, but.
Maybe it was Kyle Fletcher.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, Kyle was kind of like not the top guy at all in New Japan.
You know, maybe it's Bandito. It's stuff like that. Guys we've known, but you know, the mass audience aren't necessarily the biggest, you know, they don't keep up with everything wrestling. So yeah. All right, guys, that's it for us. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the full gear predictions. We will be back Saturday night, Sunday morning, whenever, talking some wrestling this week, talking some full gear. So we will catch you guys on the flip side.